Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it is to be able to come into the house of the Lord and sense His presence in this place and basically hear all is well. No matter what we're facing, in God's presence, all is well. Well, that goes right along with the message I'm going to be preaching this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. A few weeks ago, Sunday night, we just studied the book of 2 Timothy as we've been going through and studying all the divisions of the Bible and every book that's in every division. And we've studied 2 Timothy. I trust that was a help. But as we look this morning, this is Paul's last epistle before he would be called on to glory. And he's one of his prison epistles, and he's awaiting his execution. And the last letter is addressed to Timothy. Paul is closing out his life in this letter. 2 Timothy, if you will go ahead and stand with me. And I want to start reading in verse 9, and we'll read down to verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Paul, addressing Timothy, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you, what a blessing it has been to be in this place, and to be ministered to through your presence, congregational singing, and special music. Thank you for that. And now as we open up your precious word, we look here in this book as 2 Timothy, as Paul's closing out his life on this earth and addressing Timothy. I pray, God, that you'd help each one of us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us through this passage of Scripture. Pray that you might use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As Paul writes this last letter that he would write under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, He instructs Timothy in chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4 and verses 5. It's all instructing Timothy, giving him a final word of God and encouragement to accomplish what God has for him to accomplish. But then we find that Paul's focus turns to himself. Still addressing Timothy, but Paul starts focusing on what's going on in his life. And if you will, we find Paul closing out his life. Paul knew that this would be the last letter that he would write. Paul knew that he was on the threshold of kingdom, the glory of God, going to the heaven himself. And he writes in verse 6, he says, "For I," as he focuses here on himself now for Timothy, he says, "For I am now ready." I'm now ready. to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready. My departure here is here. I'm aware of this. I know this is the last of my life on earth. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I want you to know that, Timothy. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Timothy, learn from this. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Even though he's focusing on his life, he wants his life to be an example and a message to Timothy. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. He knew this. A crown of righteousness. The crowns that God has to distribute. We have a little bit of information in the Bible concerning them, but it's going to be far greater than what we could ever imagine to receive something like this from an almighty creator God. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, Paul could have stopped writing right there. That could have been the end of it. But it wasn't. I believe that Paul had one last lesson to teach Timothy. A lesson that Timothy would need, and I believe a lesson that every born-again believer who has a desire to serve God and accomplish all that God has for you to accomplish in this life will need. Paul's life of ministry had come to an end. It's hard to think about coming to an end, you know, especially when you get started. Because as Paul's life of ministry had come to an end, Timothy's was just beginning. In life, there's always those whose life is coming to an end. And yet, at the same time, there are those whose life is just beginning. We were all part of just beginning at one point. And now we're getting closer, some of us. Some of you are still closer to the beginning. But you will, if the Lord tarries, have to face that time at the end. Paul had one last lesson to teach Timothy. And he says, after he reveals himself, and he says, I'm ready, I'm going, I know what I'm looking forward to. It's going to be a blessing to receive a crown from God. And I fought my fight, I finished the course, I kept the faith. Praise God for all that, Timothy, learn from that. But then he says in verse 9, come. Now he's addressing Timothy again. He says, come, because I have this one last lesson. I want to talk to you about some of these things. I want to give you this before my departure. And then we find that Paul reveals all that he was dealing with in life, even at the end. You know, everyone is going to deal with things that you don't want to have to deal with your whole life. Even as we get toward the end. First of all, we find that Paul was facing his own execution. He was in prison. He knew that he was going to face an execution. This was something that was just what he was dealing with at the last. And then he reveals some other things. He said, along with this, he says, Demas has forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. A loved one. a co-worker, a faithful servant of God at one point. Paul says, I'm dealing with the fact that he has turned back to the world, has given in to apostasy. Not only Demas, Paul says to Timothy, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. As far as we know, these three turned their backs on Paul and they left him and even stopped serving God, went back to a life of sin. As far as we know, that's what was taking place here. As we serve the Lord, we're going to deal with a lot of things. But every one of us, if you haven't already, you will experience some other Christians that you might have been close to. You might experience some leadership that you might have looked to at one point. Experience others that encourage you to get involved in the ministry, and now you're serving God, and you have to deal with the idea that they're no longer serving. It hurts. As a pastor, as I look back over my 40 years of ministry, there have been several that was an encouragement to me to get into the ministry that I looked at and really tried to follow after, only to find that they turned back to the world. And Satan tried to use that. Several different times, those that I looked up to and then realized that they are no longer serving God. And Satan used that in my mind, trying to hinder my mind concerning my service to God. A brother had a great impact on my life and the starting of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Men that I've had come in here and preach revivals are no longer serving God. Yeah. Church members that I put my life into to try to help them, getting them saved and get them involved in ministry, serving, and now they're gone and back into the world. Paul's telling Timothy here, this last lesson is, Timothy, you don't really understand, but there's always going to be hurts. There's always going to be potential hurt in your life, and it's going to come from maybe some areas that you didn't even think would be possible. From some like Demas. Turn back to the world. Verse 12, he says, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. God called some away. Not only will we have to deal with those that possibly at one time had an impact on our lives in Christ and are no longer serving God, and Satan tries to use that to hinder us, but there's also going to be those that are serving God, but God decides to take them somewhere else. And Paul would have to smile and accept God's will, and he says, I had to send Tychicus to Ephesus. And Paul's thinking, Lord, I need him here. Why? Don't you see what's going on in my life? Don't you see what's taking place here in this ministry here? And you've called Tychicus somewhere else? It could have been your closest friend. And yet they believed it's God's will for them to take a job somewhere out of state. And you think, wait, that's my closest friend in the ministry. That's my closest friend in the church. And now they're no longer here. God, you took away my closest friend. And you have to smile and say, if it's God's will, I've had to sit across the desk from many members of the church that have come in and said, "Preacher, just feel like God has called us and this is a great opportunity to in my employment and to move here, to move there." And I'm thinking, no. There's no greater place to serve God than right here. What are you doing? Surely it's not God's will for your life. You're out of the will of God. I can't tell them that. Who am I to tell somebody else what God's personal will for their life is? I have to accept it and smile and say, well, I'm praying for you, and I'm sure that somehow, some way, somebody will be able to take over what your responsibilities were here. In my mind, I'm thinking, there's nobody that I'm aware of, but God's aware of. Through the years, as we have people that's come in and had, it's been amazing how God has sent other people here to fill positions and do things. As we look back over the 33 years as a pastor at this church and the staff that have come and gone, it's God's will that I go into the pastorate. And I'm thinking, no, I just trained you. God calls them, and I have to smile and say, God's will be done. Yes, it's time to train another. Yeah. It's going to happen. Paul says, Timothy, these kind of things go on in life. You're going to face Demases, and you're going to have to face Tychicuses. And he says in verse 14, now this, he could have stopped writing, but God said, no, I want you to teach Timothy one last lesson. He needs to know these things. Verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Did him much evil. It didn't say exactly what he did, but it was much evil. Satan worked through this man to be a hindrance to the Apostle Paul. To the point where Paul says, the Lord reward him accordingly, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our word. So it was something that what he did, he went against the very teachings of Christ. Whether he let in a church split, we've started a couple other churches, not intentionally. We have started some intentionally, but we also started a couple intentionally. And you wonder just what's going on with that. Yeah. You know, you're going to have people that's going to be used of the devil to do you harm. It's going to try to discourage you from completing your task, finishing your course. Yeah. Must have been a wolf in sheep's clothing. Allowed Satan to work through him. You're going to come across those. Verse 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. See, Paul would have to stand before the judicial system in Rome. Paul went there because he appealed unto Caesar. And that's why he was in prison. That's why he was taken back to Rome. And he would have to stand before the judicial system and give an account. And why did you appeal unto Caesar? And what's going on? And Paul said, when I first stood before the judicial system, when I stood before Caesar, I thought the courthouse would be packed with those that would say, this is a godly man. He's doing great things for the Lord. And you ought to give him a pardon. And Paul says, when I stood, no man. There wasn't one who would come to the court and testify on my behalf. And I thought it would be packed. I thought that there would be so many people appreciative of what I had done in giving my life for them and helping them to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be taught all those things that God wanted them. And I thought, for sure. And in my defense, not one person. Not one. How lonely. How lonely it must have seemed for Paul not to have anyone. Yeah. He's writing this for Timothy and for every one of us as this one last departing message. Timothy would have been aware of everything else Paul had faced in life. See, because Paul, this was what he was facing at the very end. But can I tell you, the Bible records much of what Paul was facing throughout his life. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. It just didn't come all at once at the end. No, it was throughout his life. No doubt he had shared some of these with Timothy, and Timothy would have been aware of a lot of the different struggles and a lot of different perils in Paul's life. But can I tell you, if you're doing the work of God, if you're serving the Lord, there's never going to be a time when there's no struggles. There's never going to be a time in your Christian life where you have no opposition. Yeah. As we go through life, especially trying to live the Christian life, we have an adversary. And we're dealing with a world of lost individuals who do not want to be told that they're living in sin. They do not want the life of a Christian to pour any kind of cold water on their lifestyle. They don't want this. They don't want conviction. And there's going to be circumstances and situations that we'll face throughout our ministry, all the way to the end. Our Christian lives, all the way, and this is what Paul's getting across, all the way to the end. At the very end, Timothy, I'm dealing with these things. But look what Timothy would have known about these things. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 24, Paul says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. 5 times Paul was shackled to a whipping post and received 39 stripes for his testimony for Christ. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Sometimes they would use the stripes, and other times they would use rods. And Paul said, 3 times they used rods. Strapped me and beat me with rods. Just because of my desire to serve Christ, to be an example of Christianity, to preach the word. Once was I stoned, left for dead, stoned. They would not stop stoning a person until they knew that they were dead. And Paul was stoned and dragged outside the city, left for dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. His life in serving Christ, he was facing things all the time. Yeah. In weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Wow. Sign me up. No. If you read that, you say, well, I'm not giving my life to serve Christ. I'm not going to get even saved. I'm not going to put myself in that type of situation. His whole life. But in all of that, and in even what he was facing at the very end, the lesson he wanted to leave. 2 Timothy chapter 4. His farewell message for Timothy to learn. His farewell message is one that we need. Because I dare say, none of us will have to deal with all those things. But we will have to deal with opposition. Notwithstanding, in spite of all of this, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. That's what God had him to accomplish. Amen. Taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Taking the gospel to the kings of the world. A huge task. But how he was able to accomplish what God had for him to accomplish was God's presence. God's presence. As I've looked back over the years of ministry, the disappointments, the heartaches, the persecutions, the struggles, what's allowed me to make it through? I can't identify with Paul. The 40 years of ministry, that same lesson, my dependency upon God's presence. The only way that I was able to accomplish my life's work for God is what Paul's saying here. I knew of his presence. And I was strengthened by it. Never give up on your faith. Because that your faith in God is the most valuable asset that we have in life. It's what Satan will do and work at to try to keep you from. He will do everything in his power. He will use whatever he has access to use in your life to get you to turn from your faith. All the way up to the very end. Paul would say in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and the reason I was able to do it, I have kept the faith. My belief in knowing that God is real, my belief in knowing that God's presence is with me, he will never leave me nor forsake me. Paul's faith made him aware of God's presence every single time. It's the same faith that somebody that is truly saved, and you come to the house of God, you come to the church that Jesus Christ established because of your faith, and you come believing that you're going to sense God's presence here. You come believing that the Word of God will be presented, and when the Word of God is being presented, that the Spirit of God will bear witness with my spirit, and the Spirit of God would feed me, will strengthen me, will give me what I have need of to continue on in serving Him. And that's why you come. Service after service after service. Because you, when you're living as God wants you to live, you need His church. And when you know you're in the church that God has planted you in, then you will know when you come through the doors, it's somewhat like refuge. I sense God's presence. God did not reveal Himself in a form to Paul. He did not see a 500-foot Jesus. God did not even verbally speak to Paul during all of those things, and even up to the end, Paul just by his faith knew that God was beside him, knew that God was in control, and nothing was going to happen to him outside it was God allowing it. And when God allowed it, he had a purpose for it. Every time. Every time. You see, when you're going through it, you have to know God's in there with you. His presence. And with His presence, you can make whatever adjustments necessary. He would have to adjust to Demas forsaking him. Take his eyes off of Demas. Stop looking to him to be an encouragement to Paul and find another. He would have to adjust to Tychicus's that God called away. If God called them away, then God has somebody else to fill that void. God has somebody else for me to train. I just understand that if this is taking place, it's going to impact my life. But what helps me to get through that is knowing that God is in control. And as God is in control, I can adjust to Demas's, Tychicus's, even Alexander's. And even when I stand in front of the judge, the judicial system, not having anyone. But God stood with me. You see, faith will not only encourage you to know God's presence, but it'll also know that I need to adjust. In life we make adjustments. Until you get a little older, you don't realize it. But as you get older, our bodies change. Our vision changes. I had LASIK surgery way back, probably 20 years ago, and they told me as I got older that I would start losing that. Well, it started happening a few years ago, even after the LASIK and everything else. And so you start adjusting. I've got the largest print that I could get in a Bible. And that was good for a little while. But then it became blurry. And my wife said, people don't know that you're reading from the King James because you're not reading what's there. Thank God for a faithful wife. Amen. So I didn't want to have to wear glasses. So I went to one contact. I got one contact in my non-dominant eye that allows me to read, and my other eye sees you. So I'm only looking at you at one eye, but the other eye. But you don't know that. Yeah. What I'm saying is just adjust. You don't stop preaching. I mean, that's minor, but it's truth. You know that God still wants me to preach, and so with His presence, He's got something I can adjust. as we get older, our weight becomes even more of a problem. And so I always said, I'm not going to change sizes. Now, I don't ever say never going to change sizes, because that, but you start adjusting. Do you know that you can actually take the button on your pants and move it closer or over and get a little extra room there? You can get belts now that stretch. Yeah. Yeah. But eventually, you've got to go to a different size and then start over again. Move the button, get the stretch belt. Yeah. I don't know when it's going to stop. It might lead all the way to the end. Yeah. God's presence. With faith in God's presence, I look to Him and make whatever adjustments necessary to keep on, to finish my course, to fight a good fight, finish my course. As Paul says in verse 18, we're closing here, and the Lord shall. You have to have faith in that. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Keep the faith. With that faith, make whatever adjustments necessary. But never quit. Keep preaching. Keep serving. Keep your eyes on the Lord. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. Yeah, we're going to face things in life. And it's never going to change. There's always going to be a battle that needs to be fought. There's always going to be adjustments that need to be made. But do it in faith, knowing God's presence and His help is always available to us. Paul's parting message: God's presence. God's presence is what we need. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God and the examples that we have, and the Apostle Paul, and then the message, God, that we have in his parting, knowing it was the end, and yet he had one final message, and I trust that we would grasp this like Timothy would have. Lord, you know what's taking place in our lives. There might be someone here tonight, this morning rather, that does not even know you as their Savior. I pray, God, that they would come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and show them what you say they must do to be saved. Whatever decisions need to be made, whatever help that we need to seek after, I pray, God, that you would make it available to all. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.